This is January 7th, 2018. I need to... He sat there and tried to figure out, when was this? I looked up the word... I think it was the word, just the word Christian or Christ. No, I looked up the word Christ and in the dictionary, and then I have a Bible dictionary. And the word means anointed one. Christ means anointed one. And in Luke 4:18, you're familiar with that verse, and Jesus says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. Well, anyway... I didn't know it, but in the 4th century, there was a major controversy, and we're going to see the same thing again. There was a major controversy because there were two opinions, and of course, the one that lesser thing that was rampant was what, as we are beginning to understand from the Scriptures, but there were those who said that Jesus is God. And there was this other group that insisted through the Scriptures that he was a man. There's a major controversy in the 4th century. That's what it says in the... And I'm not sure if it was a dictionary itself or if it's a Bible dictionary. And... But the thing about it, and I saw this same thing in... No, I think it's in... You'll run into it in this article, I think. But... What they do is there's a tendency, you know how people can say something and you know that they're belittling the thing? It's belittled. It's like, why would anybody be so dumb? You know, or so foolish? And I'll tell you what, the truth is always going to be poo-pooed. You know what I mean? It's always going to be. You want the truth? Well, I do. I want the truth. I don't want my truth, and I don't want your truth. I want God's truth. And if there's any way we can have it, that's what we got to have. Because God's truth will make us free. Man's truth will put us under bondage, because it's not really truth. Are you following what I'm saying? So that's what we need. Now, here's the thing, and I think, I don't know who it was, or somebody here maybe that told me this, that almost without exception, people agree, I mean, even today, people agree that Jesus began, that Christ began as a man. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, a man. Isn't that what it means? It's from God. He came as a man. And what people believe is that he eventually became God, which is not even found anywhere in the Scriptures. We don't have anything like that. Eventually he became God. And this article, which is really, you've got to read it. That's one of the best, not the best, but one of the worst I've seen. But to tell you how we think, how men think. And in their minds, because of the introduction of the Trinity and the fact that Jesus, that they decided that Jesus was God. Because of that, it has shaped Western civilization. It has changed the course of everything. And I'm thinking, that's really not what he said. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. I mean, is God the one that kept the Bible going, or did men keep it going? You see what I'm saying? You know what? I used to think it was men until I began to get a better relationship and understanding of God. God has kept the Bible as it is. And what has confused me over the years is a variety of translations. Why didn't he have one here and keep it perfect? Well, you know what? None of them are perfect. They don't have to be. Because the words are not what you're hearing anyway. You're hearing the Holy Spirit reveal truth from those words. But the thing, and again, I'm trying to think of what the last thing was. I have this little A translation, you know, some of the most popular translations. And so when I come to something that might be controversial, I look it up in there. And something that I know from because of what the scriptures say, I know it's major. I'll look it up in the thing just to see what the rest of them say. You know what? Almost without exception, they all say the same thing when it comes to a vital issue. You follow me? You can't separate them, just like the scripture up here. How many translations, Corky, do you think that you found or we found that says the same thing?
At least 20.
How many?
At least 20.
At least 20 translations. Well, you know what? I don't know what I've only got 8. I don't know what the other 8 from 20 is what. I don't know what the other 12 say, but I'm guessing they say the same thing where they're vital. Do you follow me? God has kept the truth in all of them. You know what? If you believe that, you're one of the very, very few that believe that. Because people are hung up on their translation addicts, and it's like I used to be. The King James is the only one that's true. Or the Rotherham, which we got through Don Burnett, his ideas on, you know, the Kenneth Wiest, you know, some of these expanded Greek translations and so forth. And that's better, and this one's better. According to who? And we're men, we're creations. How do we determine which one is better than which one? What do I have in me that can do that? And as soon as I begin to realize who I am, I started getting a better picture of who God is. A creation from the dust of the earth that God created. There wasn't even dust to start with. So who am I? What am I? Everything that is made came about from something that didn't exist. And then we look and we see all these myriad of planets stuck out through as far as the eye can see in any direction. Who is this? No wonder he has to humble himself to behold heaven and earth. No wonder. And we could sit down and analyze him and figure him out and decide what to, you know, like somebody looked at the book of Revelation and said, well, chapter 14 actually should be before chapter 10 or something. And it's like, according to who? This person has only lived 50 years here, and here we have an eternal creator that has put this thing together, and I have come to the realization that God is the one that has kept this thing as it is. Anyways. Oh, one little thing. I mean, you can get ready to be shocked if you want, but I've decided to tile my basement.
I've already started. just to add a little bit to what Keith was saying regarding the emphasis or whatever that is put on translations. You know, I used to be associated with the Gideon Bible people, and one of the things that I did was the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. There was a stand that the Gideon Bible people had, and I was assigned. I had a shift on that stand. And there was a fellow that came around and looked over what we had, and he rejected it. It was the New King James, and he said the only real, you know, the only legitimate translation is the King James Version. And then he went on to say that, you know, the big translation, the one that is competition or whatever, with the King James is the NIV, New International Version. And he was saying that a lot of the problems that have happened with society since that came out in the mid-60s or 70s or whatever are all, you know, no prayer in school, and then the crime in the cities, and, you know, relaxation of sexual standards and so forth. They're all associated with the fact that they came out with the NIV. And, what do you say to that? You know, that is worshiping the wrong thing, though.
Yes, it is.
You know, the I like the King James. It sounds a little funny when it's not the King James I'm hearing, although I kind of like the NIV too. But that's making an idol.
Yes, it is.
Out of what should not be made an idol. Mm.
I'm being constantly reminded during my walk of exactly what it is to have faith. As most of you know, I'm doing something new in my career. It's different. And at every turn, it's different. The way we communicate, the way I'm given the work, the way I'm supposed to do it. The way I'm compensated, it's just every step to what I expect or what I'm used to or what I think should be. And it has been slowly dawning on me over the last month or so that that's exactly what my walk is. You know, you kind of decide, you know, this is what you want, this is where you want to be, this is where you want to go in your walk, you know, to make it, to be in heaven with our Father. And then once you do that, you have all of these things like, well, this is how I should be going about this, and this is how I should be doing what I need to do to go where I want to go. And these past 18-odd years, I've been finding out that, no, I keep trying to decide for God what God wants me to do, and God already knows how He wants me to do it. And it's me that has to learn and have faith that the way God wants me to do it is the way I need to be doing it. And I've been sitting here, you know, my wife has being a great helpmate and is saying, this doesn't, how? And I go, I don't know. It's all okay, but it's just not what I expect. You know? And it's just these last couple of weeks, it's just really started to sink home with me that, well, just because it isn't what you expect doesn't mean it isn't what God wants. And the only thing that I can point to is that faith is just having the belief that no matter how it happens, it's going to happen the way it needs to. And I'm sorry, that's really vague and maybe not the most eloquent way of saying it, but I have faith that my Father is going to give me what I need to make it.
Yes.
I'm learning that that's probably just not going to come to me in the way that, oh, yeah, A is B and B is C and C is D and there's a finish line and it's all good. Well, it is all good, but it's not going to go probably. I mean, every now and then I might luck out and be aligned with what God has, but for the most part, it's going to be like, no, got to make change. No. No, you're still not, and it's this constant getting in line with His will. And you can't do that unless you have faith that that's what's going to happen. I don't know how I would be where I am today if I hadn't totally surrendered to Him and say, okay, I'm done trying to drive. I'm just going to do. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to listen to hear your word. I'm going to be seeking the still voice. I'm going to try and make all the right choices I can. And then I know I'm going to fail at making all those right choices. And I'm going to have the faith that He will not forsake me. He will not forget me. He's just going to say, are you going to keep on trying? So, I've been seeing this actually happen to me in real life. I'm actually able to take my life and see how that, oh, well, that's how we're going to do this. Is that wrong? Nope, not wrong. Is it what I thought? Oh, no. Not even close to the way I thought it could be done. Does that really matter? No. It doesn't. And it's good for me to be, it's good for me to be showing, the way you think things should be done isn't probably the way they're going to be done. And that's okay. In fact, that's really good because you're screwing it up. And speaking personally, it's incredibly hard for me just to simply go, okay, I have nothing to do with this. I am not in charge. I'm not steering. I'm not influencing. I'm not convincing. You're in charge. I'm just going where you point me to. And I have to constantly remind myself that every now and then, a couple things fall in place. Like, okay, I've got it again. And I start to grab a hold again. I start to drive. And He comes back to me and says, no, you still don't get it. It's been my faith that has allowed me to continually just say, I surrender to you, Lord. Because I know I can't get there. And He reminds me in really gentle ways. And it's been interesting in my personal life, in this job with foreigners who think differently, do things differently than what I'm used to. But at the end of the day, it's still what needs to be done, and it still works. And I've been blessed by how he is showing me my way not only isn't the only way, it's the wrong way. And his way is the way. And so I constantly am getting this nice feedback. So you thought we'd do it like that, but that's not how we're going to do it. We're going to do it like this. Does it change anything? No, not really. Except we're doing it his way. Therefore, we're doing it the perfect way. Because his way is perfect. And mine just isn't. And I thank him for that. I thank him for his patience in me. Because, man, I'm just a tough study. I think about, you know, how many times has he shown me grace? You know, we always ask ourselves, you know, how many times should we extend grace to another and what the scriptures say? 7 times 70 doesn't cover how many times he's shown me grace. That sure gets me through the day. Because I just want to be me. I want to drive. I could argue he made me that way. But I think really, for me, the victory comes in making the change from doing what I want to do to doing what he wants. And that's the test that I'm going through. But I'm excited because, you know, he keeps dropping in just a little victory here and a little victory here and a little victory here. And he keeps building up my faith. I know that I can get there if I continue to stop being me and being what he wants me to be.
Lord. You know, I don't know how many other people are experiencing something similar to that, but I have prayed more in the last few months, Lord, your will be done, than I ever have. And part of the reason is the realization, and Corky was hitting it right on the head, and the realization is that God has the perfect will for every one of us. We don't know what that is, but we have to let him set it up for us. So we want to do our will, which we have learned has it fails. But God's will is always, it's perfect. So whatever he wants, you know, so you say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, but set it up so I do what you want me to do. Make it happen. And you know what? That's who he is. The perfect son said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And what we have to say is the same thing, Lord, nevertheless, not my will. Because if you direct me, isn't that what the Bible says, that he directs to direct our paths? If he directs us, the thing, it's going to work. It's going to come out right. I had a really, really good conversation with Dale just a week ago or a couple weeks ago. And what has been happening to him. And so, Lord, you know. That song that Corky had here, and I don't remember what the name of the song is, but it was like, John saw the city.
Jerusalem.
Is it called Jerusalem? And anyway, I've listened carefully to it before, and I love it. It's one of the best ones I think that we have. But I could tell the writers of the song by a couple of statements in it. I could tell how they think, and they made an association in there. It's about the Lamb being the light, and then they likened or associated the Lamb with the Great I Am.
You know what I mean? And so, anyway, what they're saying is then, in that song, real subtly, is that Jesus is God. That's a subtle part of it. But you know what? That's common. That's the way the church thinks. That's the way people think. And we were part of a community chapel and a part of the doctrinal viewpoints of Don Burnett, and which were carried over from other affiliations, other things that he was a part of. But anyway, I got thinking about it, and I thought, before I started to listen to the scriptures, I had a conglomeration of ideas and thought patterns as to who Jesus is. He's part God and part man. Or he's sometimes he's God and sometimes he's... I mean, I had all of these things. You know what? When you have these thought patterns, because they're not scripturally established, because, you know, they're thoughts, they're theories, they're worries, they're concerns that we have. When we have these thought patterns, we have no freedom. If you continue in my word, Jesus said, then you're my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What happens? You continue in the word, and it clears up. It clears up after a while. After a while, I don't have a question in my mind as to who Jesus is. And some of the scriptures that seem to point him towards something else, we need to read the scriptures around him. Jesus is a man that God has honored and glorified, and he brought him forth as a man. He anointed him as a man. He didn't anoint him as another God. Jesus never claimed. As a matter of fact, he goes out of his way to say, when the Son of Man returns. Why does he say that? When he returns, will he find faith on the earth? It's like we... anyway. Carried away a little bit. But
hey, this is something just kind of not with what's been brought so far, but it was something I've been thinking lately. It's like I was remembering how evolution was a big deal, you know, when I was young and stuff. And the term they were always referring to is they're looking for the missing link, because that would show that we evolved. Well, they never found it. But, so what they started doing is, well, this isn't working. So now we'll start adding millions of years to things so that you get so, like, you can't think beyond so many millions of years, so then it just makes it a big, you know, it's like it wants to smother your mind from really trying to think logically or whatever, you know. Because now I listen and everything gets to be like, first it was 2 million, 4 million, 50, now it's 450, now it's billions of years and 450 billions a year. You know, I mean, it's just, yeah, just put it farther out there. But, you know, no matter how far you put it, you got to come up with, how did it start? and there's no answer from them, the ones that want to not believe that God is. But so that's just one thought I had. I was reading in Corinthians, I didn't bring my sheet up with me, but where was it? I didn't bring my paper. Oh, yeah. Well, one of them is, let's see. Okay, we've been talking a lot about the Spirit, you know, and that God is Spirit. That's another thing, anointing. God's not anointed. God is anointing, you know. So how can you make this equal comparison when, you know, like which is already brought, that Christ is in his name. In his name is the anointed one. And guess what? Then why is Christ still used continually through the rest of the Bible? If he became God, you should get rid of that.
That's good.
You know? Yeah. That's so in 1 Corinthians, I was reading, and one of the things that kind of set me up for it was, it says in 2 Corinthians, it's in 10. But God has, I guess I should try to go back. Maybe I'll go all the way back to 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows? Well, I think that's the part that I was... It does go down here. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Does that line up with what Jesus was saying in John? I will send you this Spirit in Corinthians, which will let you know the wisdom of God. Or know, you know, and the truths of God, all things of God. And then over in chapter 3, verse 23, it's just a simple little verse. It says, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So it's saying Christ belongs to God. I mean, maybe I should... it says, therefore let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So it's putting Christ under God, you know. And this is in Corinthians. This is after, and that's the other, I mean, there's so many of these things. If he was God, what if he wouldn't have been resurrected? You know? And how did he get resurrected? God resurrected. That's how it's said. God, I mean, that's the thing. It says we need to know that Christ was resurrected, you know. That's part of the truth that you need to know for the true gospel. And was given all authority. Yeah, you know the one thing that's different about Christ after he was resurrected? God made his Spirit available to whosoever. Right? I mean, you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, and he can do that for every single person on the earth. That's the thing that God did different with him. Didn't ever say he changed from being a man, though. Because, and it says in another place, you know, the head of woman is man, and the head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. What do you do with that? And then, you know, like we've heard said so many times, my Father is greater than I. So, you know, I mean, and there's hundreds of those. I mean, we say them a lot here because you need to keep repeating it. I need to keep making that a solid foundation so that when the enemy comes at me, I can still stand, you know, through his grace and mercy because he gave me truth. And so the thing is, if you get presented like these people, like here, they're trying to defend. If you think what you have is true, then why not say, God, show me if this is true? But they don't even want to go that far. They just want to stand on they know, because their ancestors knew, or their whatever, you know? I mean, that... And you know, it takes the grace of God to bring you to that place. It takes His mercy and His grace, which He, for some reason, has done to most everyone here, I would guess. If you're here. Because to me, that's what it came down. Well, shoot, if this denomination's teaching this, and this man's teaching this, and this pastor's teaching, and these teachers are teaching this, well, maybe I should just ask God what's right. You know, and that's what Keith brought us, you know, our little evolution, you might say, from when he heard the first thing about listening to the Word. And then after a while, it's like I said, well, yeah, why don't I just totally humble myself and admit I don't know anything and ask Him to teach me from zero. Amen. You know, and that's what everyone else has done here. And it's amazing if you put yourself in that place. And you got to stay there, though. You know, you can't go off on tangents because, oh, I got some truth. Oh, I'm the one that needs to go out and, you know, start a new church or whatever. And it's, you know, I don't know this for sure. This is speculation. Right now, it seems hard for me to imagine how you're going to present this. But see, God can always change the hearts of men when they hear things. But it's like, it just seems like it's got to come to the point where there's power involved to back up the truth, you know? And right now I'm going, man, when? That looks so far off. How could that happen? You know, I can't think of me personally seeing me praying for miracles or whatever, healings or anything, you know? Although that's not entirely true, but it's like, but then we didn't have any of that for us to start receiving the truth. So, you know, where I'm saying it's kind of faith-like, because you see these opinions and they're so strong, and it's like, well, the other thing you have to remember is, like Jesus said about a lot of the Pharisees, and the disciples asked Him, He said, no, leave them alone. You're not going to have any effect on them. Leave them alone. Yeah. And some of these people, it's going to be leave them alone. You know? The ones that want it will hear it. I mean, because God will make that happen. And He'll turn a heart when He wants it turned to receive it. You know? So that's why we have to have faith. And most of all, and Corky knows and all of you know, man, you have to have patience. You have to have the patience and long-suffering of your Father, which even if we had a tiny bit of it, we'd be so far ahead of where I am now. You know, I mean, because of His undying long-suffering for us. It's, yeah. And then I'm thinking, of course, and I'm 10 years younger than Keith, and it's like, do I have enough time? You know, it's like, you know, these days are rolling on, and it's, you know, I'm older, and I'm getting older, and then I just keep saying, but if it's for one day, that's all that matters. If He uses me for one day, or 1 hour, whatever, you know. So, that's the faith and hope that we have to have in what we're doing, and not lose hope. And don't, you know, I'm sure, most of us have probably had the enemy try to change our thoughts, you know, and test us. Do you really think you got the truth when it's just you dinky little people sitting here, about 10, 12 of you? How can you think that? I mean, it's got to be for the multitudes, you know? It was like the thing I mentioned, I think, whenever the last time I was up here. Satan is you know what the Bible says? And I did say this, and I'm going to repeat it again, though. Because you got to hear this and know this. He has no truth. It says He is a liar and deceiver, and there is no truth in Him. Yeah. So you got to remember that. As powerful as he is, and he is, he's probably, and I mentioned, probably one of the more, probably the most intelligent being that operates in the world, you know. Other than, of course, Jesus Christ, and you know what I'm saying, though. When he sees the word, he sees it like all these other people are, or because he's taught them. He's the instructor on how to interpret the word of God. Except that when he interpreted it and read it and spoke it to Jesus, he got rebuked because he didn't have truth. Sure, the angels could maybe, but you don't tempt God. You know, and that was the one, I think, where, yeah, he took him up on the steeple and said, if you fall, the angels will grab you. And then, like, well, you can have all angels come and feed you or whatever. And, you know, and then Jesus says, it's by the word of God is the only bread I need, you know, or that's sufficient for life. And so, and I know that he's reactionary also, because he tries something with people, and if he gets his response out of them, then he knows, hey, this works. This is what, and so then he passes it on, and that's something that gets used. And so he turns people by manipulation and by, you know, seeing that it happened, and yeah, these people think this way because we gave them this thought, you know. So we know they're weak in this area. Now this group over here, they're a little stronger in that area, but we can get them here. And so he just, you know, and he manipulates the word of God. I mean, it makes so much sense when you see that there are ministers of Satan and that are ministers of righteousness. You know, and I get that now. That is a clear verse. Because they're actually, most of them are standing in the pulpits and wherever, and they really think that they are righteous, that they're bringing the truth. But that doesn't make it the truth. And God, as he has done with us, will bear long and have long suffering until they are presented with the truth. Then there's no ignorance anymore, you know. Because I know he's allowing a lot of people grace because of ignorance, you know. They just haven't had it presented yet. And all they've ever heard is this certain slant. But God's going to change that. And when he does, see, and it was like, you know, like what Keith started with. Well, no, I can't probably bring that because that was before. That in a way, that's the sad part. If we're given the unction to provide truth or bring truth, if the person rejects it, they've just brought a judgment on themselves, you know? Yeah. And that's the sad part, you know? Maybe they didn't know any better until you told them. But once you told them, then they're responsible to God for the truth. And if they deny it, you know? So, like, the vision that Keith had way back when he said, you know, do we have time to tell our loved ones? Yeah, we do have time to tell them. That's all we have. I mean, that's all our responsibility. We're not responsible for whatever decision they make after that. And that's a hard one. Yes, it really is hard. And I don't think we should ever give up on the fact that, you know, but if God doesn't anoint you and keep you presenting it to him, then, you know, either it's for somebody else to bring to him, or they're one of those that Jesus said, leave him alone, you know? So, anyway, some of that isn't always uplifting in a certain way, but it is reality, you know? It's the reality of God's kingdom. So, glory.
Because of what God has done, and I was just associating with what Ken was saying, and because of what God has done, it has made me kind of question exactly what do you tell people? You know, when I came from Seattle, I was loaded. You know, all kinds of things. And God honored a lot of these things, and things happened. But it's like I've come to the realization that it's a lot simpler than what we have thought. It's not as difficult as it seems like. There's two things that we need to get ingrained in us, and this is what we need to tell people. Number one, hear the word of God and not man. Number two, turn to the Holy Spirit to teach you instead of men. Those are the two basic things that we have to that you can instill in people. When I was what we have, and I don't know how Ken presented this, but we have a church society structure that has developed out of itself. It's almost like an evolutionary thing. And when we were in the Lutheran Church in Seattle, and we got filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, I was turned. Well, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, but what it did, it turned me to the Bible, and I started reading it day and night. And the next thing I knew, I mean, the pastor, Pastor Larson, he was as much with me as he could be. He was fed up with the Lutheran Church himself. And when I told him, I said, there's things they want me to teach in the curriculum for the class. I can't do it because it's not scriptural. And he took the magazine, if I remember, and threw it away that I had. And he says, go teach what you're teaching, because these kids are being changed and they love it. Well, the organization wouldn't put up with that because it's not what God is in, wants. It's, what does the organization want? Well, anyway, so we rejected everything that we were being taught, Joanne and I did, and we turned just to the scriptures. And the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. What happens when you turn only to the word of God? Now, we haven't seen a lot of this yet. It's coming. It's coming. The word of God is quick and it is powerful. And you will see the fruit of God's word. You will see it. And because that's who God is. God confirms his word, his truth. Guess what the title of the next week's message came to me the other day? The power of truth. You know what? You don't need anything else except the title. You don't even have to hear the message. The power of truth. What happened? We rejected the doctrines of everybody. Any doctrine that we were familiar with, we rejected it. We turned to the Bible. God healed Jerome. But you know what? We talk about Jerome. We saw multiple healings. Because that was so profound, that's the one we talk about. But you know what? Joanne and I saw all kinds of things. Joanne prayed for people and saw them heal. I prayed for people. We saw people healed. Why? Because the word of God is quick and it is powerful. And the power of God was on us. The anointing was there and things began to happen. You know what? It will happen again. I think that we are yet to see the Joel Chapter 2 experience. God is going to utter his voice before his army. And there are going to be a people that don't hurt each other. They love each other. They work together in harmony. Before them is going to be a Garden of Eden, and behind them a desolate wasteland, it says. We're going to see something. I'm not going to cause it to happen, but let me tell you something about Keith Gunn. I stay alive by the grace of God. Let me tell you something about his wife. She stays alive by the grace of God. And when I pray in the mornings, I know that that's why how I function. With the bangs and the falls and the things that I should have at some point killed myself.
Me too.
but anyway, God has kept us and God is going to keep us, and the Word of God is going to do a work that we haven't seen yet. I'll tell you what I did. It'll be on the tape, I'll say it anyway. But we rejected one set of ideas and turned to another set. You know what's happened now? I have rejected all of those. And the only thing that I'm left with, and which has made me extremely happy, is the Word of God. That's all I got. That's all I want. And I thank God for it. I did this morning, early this morning. I thank God for what He's doing and for His Word that He has allowed us to begin to have access to. There's a lot of people that have this and they carry around, you know what? It's a closed book. It's a closed book. It's like that thing that I read in, it was in the 12th chapter of Luke, maybe, where Jesus called His disciples and he spent about three verses here explaining to them what's going to happen. And then after He got through explaining it to them, the next verse says, and they didn't understand anything He said. And I'm thinking, why did He say it then? Here we have the Word of God. I want access to it. Because it's quick and powerful? Yes, it is. And God's Word will accomplish what He sends it forth to do. Is that not right? That's what it's going to do. And so, here we sit. Oh, I know what I was going to say. This again with a testimony, I think it's again, but I'm not sure. God's patience. In the third chapter of Revelation to the church of Philadelphia, God says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you. And I think that has a little bit to do with that dream, the end of my dream that I had, and I saw people caught up, slowly lifted up off the earth. I don't know. Have to wait and see. But in this thing, is because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from this hour that has come upon the world to try the whole world. That's what it says to the church of Philadelphia. And that's the only church in there. The first one, it says, you have kept my word. The second time it says in there, it says, because you have kept the word of my patience. If we keep God's word, God will keep us. Corky, God bless you. I hear him get up, and he got up this morning again, and he's talking about things. I'm thinking that's right where I'm at. That's where I've been. Lord, not my will. I'm thinking that my ideas are good, and they're not. I want yours. The scriptures are made up of God's thoughts and God's ways. I want those in me. I spent a life developing my own or being taught by a world that's controlled by the devil. I want to get rid of those things. I want to do things God's way for a change. What's going to happen? What will happen if you do it God's way? It'll work. Yeah, it'll work. So, anyone else? Okay, come on up. Step off the side so I don't get in your way.
I thought because of that song, which I really like too, I'd read the setting for that. in Revelation. Starts in 21. But I saw no temple in it. Well, let's see. It's talking about the city. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. I mean, the Lamb is its light. But it's kind of interesting. I was reading down farther, and, so it's there's a separation there. And then in 22 chapter, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Not the same. But the throne of God, I'm skipping a couple of verses. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now this is interesting, because I really don't know who this is referring to at this point. They shall see his face, and his name shall be written on their foreheads. And the reason I'm not sure, because there's other places in Revelation where God puts the seal on the forehead of those that are his. So, I don't know. I'm just going to leave that there. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. Now, see, that's kind of interesting, because up here, it was the glory of God illuminated, and the Lamb is the light. But you know what? Where do all things come from?
Yeah.
The Lord God Almighty is the light. He's everything. Everything comes from Him. Okay, I'll stop there.
I've got up here to quote a scripture about eight times. Well, I don't know how many times I've been up, but almost every time, and I keep forgetting it, but I'm going to quote it. It's in John 5:26. And, you know, some of these chapters have some real phenomenal things that they say. John 5:26, I think, is a key. I think it's one of the most major scriptures that we have in relationship to the Father and the Son. And here's what it says. As the Father has life in Himself. Now, wait a minute. Is there any doubt that God has light in him, life in Himself? As the Father has life in Himself. Now, wait a minute. It says this in every translation. So He has given to the Son to have life in Himself. What does that tell us then about what happened to Christ? Can Christ be everywhere present if God gave Him life in Himself?
You know what's interesting? Verse 27, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also because He is the Son of Man. Isn't that interesting?
Say it now. He's what?
Given Him authority.
Given Him authority
to execute judgment.
To execute judgment.
Because He is the Son of Man.
Because He is the Son of Man.
Not God the Son. Not Son of God. Son of Man.
I don't think that we have even begun to open the door. No, I shouldn't say that. I don't think that God has allowed us yet to even step into the door. You know what I mean? We're getting some bits and pieces. But I love the bits and pieces. Why don't we come up to the front and... God bless you.